This call is being recorded.
All right, well, let's go ahead and start today's call. So good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone who has joined us today. Just while we wait for the last few folks to join us, I'm sure we've got some more people coming over to today's call. Just want to remind everyone that once you're on the Etherpad, to sign in on the roll call. And also to make sure that your name is showing up in the Etherpad chat. You can do that by clicking on the colored square in the top right-hand corner. It'll have a little silhouette and a number. And if you click on that, you can make sure that your name is in that list. If you don't see it at the top, just type it in and it will show up automatically. That just helps us know who's chatting in the chat bar on the right. And also whose notes are corresponding to which attendee is on the call. So as I mentioned before, I will be making sure that Uber conference lines that you've dialed in through are muted to avoid background noise. If you're on Uber conference, then feel free to unmute if you want to share anything verbally at any time. Or if I'm asking you a question directly, I will likely unmute you before I talk to you. So. Hopefully we won't have any technology issues this week. I apologize for last week when my technology was failing me, but a big shout out to Meg for jumping in and saving me on last week's call. She's unable to join us this week, but I wanted to give her a big shout out anyway. All right, so if anyone is joining us for the first time, you can also feel free to sign in under first-time introductions. Doesn't look like we have any newcomers to our community call today, which is all good. It's great to see a lot of familiar names on the call today. So whenever you're ready, folks that are on the Etherpad, more than welcome to share what they're working on this week. So from line 50 onwards, don't forget to include your name before your updates. But we'd love to hear what people are working on. So feel free to type in your updates. And if you'd like to share verbally, then feel free to unmute and do so. So for those who are just dialing in, I think I heard a couple of dialing in beeps. We're just starting to share out some updates. So once you've made your way over to the Etherpad, feel free to add what you're working on, what you've been working on in recent weeks. Don't forget to include your name so that we know who's working on what. And at any time, if you'd like to unmute and share your updates verbally and give us a bit more information, you're more than welcome. In fact, heartily encouraged to do so. So Serge, it looks like we've got some updates from you on the Badge Europe site, which is great. Would you like to unmute and tell us a bit more about what you've been updating this week?
Oh, it's just technical. Try to put a bit of a structure on the website, that's all. So we will be able to work at the beginning of the year, and I really hope that the community will wake up after a long winter sleep.
Well, it's looking great. Yep, I will enthusiastically plus one Nate's comment that is looking sharp. So yeah, looking forward to seeing how that progresses. See what else. Nate can't unmute today. I believe you are in an airport somewhere. But it looks like you're headed to the micro-credential summit with the Digital Promise folks in Redwood City. So that's awesome. Hopefully we will get you and a few other people who are headed to that summit to share out next week on the call to let us know how that went. And I think we've got Sunny heading to the conference as well. So we've got a good set of people heading to that summit. Let's see. See if we can drop in a link if anyone wants to learn more about that summit who aren't going to be able to attend in person. So I've dropped that in on line 59. How about anyone else on the call? Feel free to unmute and share updates verbally, or to just type something in. Underline 60 if you have any updates to share. And similarly, if anyone has any questions for the community, for those who are attending today's call, feel free to type those in underline 65. We've got a general section for questions. It doesn't have to be a question about an update that's been shared. It could be a more general question. I know last week we had a couple of newcomers to the call who had some general questions. But at any point, you guys are always welcome to ask questions about projects that are going on. It looks like we've got an update from Laurie at IBM. So no worries about not having more to share this week. We're really glad that you're here. Wish you lots of luck and progress with the projects that you guys are working on. It looks like we've got another comment or question coming in from Dale. Is anyone talking with Salesforce about their new Trailhead badge effort? I believe in the past there have been some conversations with Salesforce, but I don't know if anyone is talking to them about current or ongoing efforts. If anyone else in the community has reached out to them or has had conversations with them, feel free to chime in. But if we don't have anyone else here, then there might be more conversation happening in our community group. A link to that is towards the top of this Etherpad on line 6. And for anyone who comes to these calls who isn't already plugged into that group, that's a great resource to connect with the community members and share announcements and look for folks who are working on similar badging projects to you. And also just to ask questions. We get a lot of troubleshooting and resource-related questions in there too, so it's a great place to hang out. And it's based in Google, so your mailing list frequency is obviously completely up to you. So we will always try our best to spam anyone's inbox. So I hope everybody is already plugged into that, but if not, make sure you sign up and share it around. If you know of anyone else who would like to plug into the Badges community, that's a good place to start. So it looks like we got a little bit of discussion on the Salesforce question. Again, that might be a good question to post in the Google group. Now I'm just going to double check to see if one of our presenters for today is here. I don't see him on the Etherpad, so I just want to do a quick check before we move on with today's call. So just bear with me a second. Again, if anyone has anything they'd like to share verbally, feel free to jump in at any point. All right, well, I'm not seeing anything from Ian yet, so hopefully he will be able to join us soon, but it does look like we've got someone new on the call. So a big welcome to Angela, and Angela, if you can hear me and you would like to share verbally a little bit about who you are and what's brought you to the Badges community, we'd love to get to know you a little bit.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can. Go ahead.
Okay. So my name is Angela Fulcher. I am at Teachers College, and here at Teachers College, we partner with public schools in Harlem, and we're doing some work with Columbia University where We want to develop a badge system for our STEM work, specifically our engineering and our systems thinking work, to recognize the efforts that our students are putting into their after-school activities and what they're learning from their activities, so they can use that when they apply for colleges or careers or additional opportunities to have some type of representation of that out-of-school learning. But we are very green. We got this information from the Hive group in New York City, and all we've done so far is draft a letter of intent. So this is very, very new to me.
Well, it's great to have you here. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask them in the chat on the Etherpad, or to, you know, ask them verbally. And if you'd like any follow-up, feel free to get in touch via email. Badges@badgealliance.org is definitely the best way to get in touch with us. I'm one of the people that directly answer those emails, so I promise there's a real person at the end of that email address. So it's really great to have you here.
Thank you.
It looks like we've got a comment from Meredith at Mouse as well, saying that the Mouse schools are already earning STEM badges. It would be great to see some overlap there. So yeah, I second Nate's comment that you should definitely connect with them. it would be great to see those connections and collaborations progress as the year goes on. So unfortunately, I haven't been able to get in touch with Ian. I've tried reaching out over the last few minutes, but he may be having some issues dialing in, or connectivity issues. So I'm not sure how much we'll be able to dive into this today, but I will do my best to cover, and hopefully Ian will join us at some point and be able to take over. But I was given a quick rundown of the project that they've worked on, and if anyone on the call is able to take notes, I highly encourage it. But if not, I can also sort of copy and paste the overview that I was given. So Doug Belshaw, who is the chair of the Badge Alliance Working Group on Badges for Digital and Web Literacies, reached out to me and said that he or someone from the working group would love to come and share their work on their deliverable from cycle one last year. So these are the links that I've shared here on the Etherpad. So we have a link to the working group if you're interested after the presentation in signing up for that mailing list. You can do that. The link is on line 82. What they delivered is a document detailing considerations for a privacy badge pathway, and a link to that is on line 83. And Doug also wrote kind of an overview blog post with a bit more detail, which is linked on line 84. So if you want a bit more further reading after this, then that's a good place to start. So from what Doug told me, they used the Mozilla Web Literacy Map as a starting point because many of the group had been part of those conversations that led to creating the Web Literacy Map, and it was a framework that folks were familiar with. And the discussions were really wide-ranging and included a lot of options, but the guidance that's laid out in the document is as simple and straightforward as possible. For example, for five badges, the five would break down as follows. So the first badge would be identifying rights retained and removed through user agreements. Second badge would be taking steps to secure non-encrypted connections. Third badge, explaining ways in which computer criminals are able to gain access to user information, which is always a big discussion point. As is badge number four, managing the digital footprint of an online persona. And five, identifying and taking steps to keep important elements of identity private. And again, I can copy and paste this, so don't worry about taking detailed notes, but I do see Nate in the Etherpad, so thank you very much for that, Nate. Also laid out in this document approaches to creating the badge pathway itself, including approaches such as the trivial pursuit approach, the majority approach, and the cluster approach. And more detail on those approaches are laid out in the document itself. So The work is currently still in Google Docs, but Doug has said that if there's enough interest moving forward, then it'll be ported to GitHub so that it looks a bit more like the existing WebMaker white paper. So I'm gonna copy that link in as well, so that if folks want to take a look at the existing WebMaker white paper, that link's on line 87.
Hey, Jade, this is Nate. It looks like Ian just made it into the
pack. I just saw that. Thanks. Great. So,
hey, everybody, I'm just sitting back here lurking on the call.
Well, feel free to go ahead. I was just going through the overview that Doug had sent me in the email, but you are far more equipped to share this work with the community, so I'm happy to turn off my mic and hand it over to you.
Yeah, not a problem at all. Thanks for the overview. It's an honor and privilege to talk to everybody. I see a lot of friends on the Etherpad right now, so it's cool to see everybody there. Hopefully everybody's doing well and safe and sound and warm, most notably. So a lot of the work that we've done so far, we've spent basically the last 2 years scripting out these web literacy, the weblit map, and then the pathways. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to figure out what it really means to be a web literate individual now and in the future. And we're trying to build up this skill set. Part of the challenge that we've had here is that we don't want to steal a language that Carla, who's lurking somewhere on this, would use. We want to try and be descriptive, but stay away from being prescriptive as to what these literacies would be. And we're all smart enough to know that we don't fully know what the future will hold, so we want to be as open-ended as possible. So where we left off is we tried to take individual literacies and competencies. Yes, Carly, you've been name-dropped. Take individual skill sets and figure out what does this mean and what does this look like. So we started developing pathways, and the pathway is basically a way for us to be a little transparent and overt in our thinking about the individual skills and competencies that we're talking about, and then what they would look like if we were to teach them and build badges that go along with it. Around the context of this, one of our hopes is to, and we had a lot of dialogue about this on the community calls, is to figure out a way to really make this a living process and figure out ways that we can connect with the community. So one of the things we've been talking about is, you know, with the pathway that you're looking at now, you know, possibly reaching out and making this more of a federated badge model, reaching out and saying, okay, if this is the privacy or this is the security badge pathways, reaching out to EFF or, you know, some other group and saying, okay, we want you to run the badges. You know, we'll give you guidance, but possibly you could run the badges. And the hope would be to take the work that we've done on the web lit map and then make it more than just Mozilla, more than just the community. You know, we'll actually make it representative of what the community can really have. So that's what we're looking at is we sat down, we wrote out the different pathways. So if we were going to say, you know, what would it take for an individual to be more knowledgeable about privacy online? What are some individual levels of education and instruction we can have? And then how can we build up? So that's basically where we're at. We're trying to identify exactly what privacy means. What can, quote unquote, normal people do to be more private online? What are things that people should know? And then for the more experienced and savvy and web literate individuals, what can they also build in to be more private online? So with that, I'll stop for a minute and we'll see if there's other people that want to chime in and ask questions or dump stuff in the Etherpad.
All right, it looks like we've got a couple of questions and discussion starters being dropped in by Carla. So Carla suggested that this seems like the beginning of a great endorsement use case. So open that up for community thoughts. Feel free to type them in if you don't feel like contributing verbally, or also feel free to unmute and share your thoughts verbally as well.
Yeah, please unmute. Please, you know, let's talk about this. But that's, I mean, Carla nailed it. This is, we don't want, we believe in the power of the web lit map. We, you know, have been working on it for a while, but it feels like we all get stuck in our different silos. And it's, you know, we want this work to go out and the Badge community to pick it up and run with it, or get these, you know, connected so that we can have some cross-fertilization. So we'd like to see it get traction elsewhere. And I'm also intrigued by the idea of, so if this were to be used in a federated model, if we were to reach out to, for example, EFF and say, okay, we want people to be more knowledgeable of how to be private, you know, and secure individuals online, this is something that you would most likely be interested in. We would like to, you know, cross endorse, or we would like to jointly offer badges to individuals. There's that question of down in the bottom, you know, the so what question. What would this all mean? Who would offer these? Where would they come from? What ultimate use would they have? Would, you know, who would look at these and accept these elsewhere? Nate, I don't know about your question.
Yeah, so it looks like Nate has asked if the endorsement working group paper has made it through the publishing process. I don't believe so. Carla is likely the best person to know more about that. It has. Great.
One of the questions that's down there, the supple under Carla's point, isn't the WebLit community or the members the endorsers, some of those organizations that we mentioned? Yeah, I mean, that's one of those badge anatomy, like logistics, psychology, super meta-level questions that we've had. You know, we said, okay, so we have this badge pathway, we have this this infrastructure that we see in our heads, we have funny badge names, we have, you know, what people would do to earn these badges, but then we have that meta-level talk of, okay, well, who do these badges come from? Who endorses them? Who do they, you know, get sent out by? Who offers the badges? And then we have those discussions that I'm sure everybody in this community has had for decades, or a couple of years at least, and that's, where do the badges come from? If the badges come from Mozilla, and they are part of the Mozilla Web Lit Map, then there is a certain cachet, but then there's also, you know, certain, I don't want to use the term baggage, but I'm going to use it, that, you know, these badges are from and by Mozilla and the community. If we reach out and they are part of that federated model and we reach out to other organizations, so, you know, if we extend this in the future, we have like a navigation badge or the infrastructure badge. We could reach out to literacy organizations. We could reach out to like NCTE and National Writing Project and the cool folks with Connected Learning and offer badges through that. I think that's, to me, that's where I'd like to see us go. It just takes a lot of phone calls and emails and all the other grease that it takes to make things happen. But then it could just be, The badges are offered by those of us that are on the Web Lit Map team, and we just start badges and we start offering them. That might be the third option, but we don't know. My hope is that we have that federated model and we can make things happen. Obviously, that's happening at a higher pay grade than I have. People need more juice. People like Doug Belshaw and Carla they know the people to talk to make that stuff happen. I don't. But if nothing happens, then I think the people that are on the Weblit calls will just start to offer the batches because we don't want to see things not happen. So we basically have like those three thoughts in our head, and that's the three directions that we might head. But with each one of them, there are certain, you know, opportunities and challenges if we go that route. So, I mean, I'd be interested in seeing what people think. What would be the best option? What would be the best direction to head if this were the federated model? How do you actually make that happen? How do you go to NWP? How do you go to NTT, EFF? How do you go to, you know, as you look at all the three strands that we have and all the different competencies, that means making phone calls and reaching out to communities and saying, hey, the work that we're promoting in this, you know, skill set, this is really something that you've been trying to do for years. Come help us.
Hey, Ian, this is Nate. I think I've managed to unmute, right? That sounds really interesting. And exploring like what a federated model of veg issuing does bring up all of these different complexities, you know, and among them also is just like what sort of actual platform are you going to use to issue the badges? What platform is out there that has the capability to manage different user roles from, you know, a federated model where various different organizations could actually go and push the button and award the badge? And I think we're going to make some interesting progress on that this year. But I'm not sure what I would like actually do if I were trying to launch this badge system this month.
There's also, I love that, you know, and it's also, you know, it could be, let's stick with privacy because we have that document that we can pull apart. You know, let's say we stick with privacy and we do say EFF offers it, or it's like somehow we got Cory Doctorow and the Weblit Map team were offering these privacy badges. So that's awesome. Where do they come from? You know, who offers them? Plus, the other thing is, as we develop these badges, as we've been writing about this Weblit map for years, you know, let's say we reach out to an organization, we reach out to CORE, we reach out to EFF, and they say, we don't really like the badges that you have built up in this badge pathway. We don't like your definition of privacy. We have to have a certain amount of wiggle room or ambiguity, as Doug would call it, in our definition of privacy and security. And so that will somehow change what we were looking for. And I think that we have to be comfortable with that. I think for the most part we are, but that means we have to have some flexibility in what we're looking at if we reach out and have this handshake, you know, in a federated model. Other people, what do other people think? Serge, I like what you're writing about the privacy and the intimacy. You want to can you unmute and talk about that?
Yeah, I prefer to use intimacy and to speak about intimacy technology than I'm not speaking like a gynecologist, but the idea that what we want is a space where we can share things. And transform private. And the idea of privacy is how we build walls of. And I think the concept of intimacy is the idea and how can we create a space where we are free to speak, like the intimacy of a home, the intimacy of a partnership or friendship. And this is a kind of technology which is missing. And so privacy, I think, is interesting, but a bit limited. I prefer shared privacy, which would be intimacy. And I think if we want also to develop, okay, let's say with privacy for the sake of the conversation, it would be very interesting to look at the whole ecosystem of leading to privacy. So looking at the technologies being provided? Could we deliver a badge for privacy to Apple, for example, who has a backdoor for the NSA into his iPhone? No, definitely not. But maybe the Mozilla phone doesn't have a backdoor. Maybe we could deliver a badge that will say, okay, we can guarantee your privacy if you are using a Mozilla Firefox OS telephone. So, and also a badge not just for good behavior, okay, you do the right thing to protect yourself, but also campaigning for privacy, doing something, having an action that has an impact on society. So not just protecting yourself, but thinking in terms of a community. And so I think that's a problem when we think about skills and competencies. It tends to narrow things. Well, in fact, if we think about values, then we can have something which is a bit broader.
I think there's a ton of cool thoughts. One, I love the idea of intimacy. I think that what we're getting into, that's something that we've probably lost in the web lit map, is there is being private and there is being secure, and I get those competencies in online spaces, but I think we also need to be considerate of almost like voice and being able to speak your mind and still be safe and secure and know who you're speaking to and how you're speaking online. A little bit of critical literacy involved, but I love that. But also, at the end of your thoughts, one of the things I really liked is when we were developing the badge pathways, we were trying to think of specific, almost like deliverables, like, okay, make sure that my password is not password. Okay, yay, I am private now. I get the level of badge, that's indicated there. But in a way, we're talking about literacy, which is so much more than that. We're talking about, almost like value systems. And it's like, how can we recognize these values that are embedded in the different competencies and skills and promote those values through our badges, create an ecosystem where we promote those values and do so in a way that people can understand and, earn those badges. So I'm interested in how other people, on the call have tackled that. Because I know that there are people, for example, Mouse, I've been doing some writing and reading with them, and it's all about the ecosystem. Like, how do you promote those values that we are trying to identify in the web lit map? It's a challenge. Oh, Meredith, you cannot unmute. are there other people on the call that have to work with these, as sort of pointed out, the extended ecosystem of badges, or federating out, or forming partnerships with other organizations? Is this something that we can actually do? Can we reach out to other people and have these partnerships? Can the web lit team, as part of the Mozilla, communities calls, can we reach out to other organizations and make this happen? Or is this something that, yeah, that's a great idea, we might be able to do it in 20 years from now, but right now this should just be you guys are offering those badges out? I mean, what are success stories? What are challenges? Are we thinking, logically, or is this too idealistic?
Hey, this is Nate again. One of the types of networks that have these sort of challenges, I think, are our geographic networks that we've been talking with, as well as the Hive network, which is even broader than that. So I was talking about the Oregon Badge Alliance a few weeks ago, and we haven't yet designed any federated badges like this, but I think we're definitely interested in sort of paying attention to what success and challenges you confront here and duplicating it if possible.
Yeah, I mean, because that's one of the things we're thinking about is sticking with the privacy one only because we have the document written up. It might mean going to some organization and they say, you know, the organization says to us, you know what, we've never run badges before. The honest truth is we have no idea what to do with badges. And this is all things that everybody in this phone call knows very well. We don't know what badges are. We know that they're exciting. We want to have badges. We just don't know how to do it. And then as the Web Lit team, we say, no problem. We'll run it for you. We're just going to plop your name on the top to give the cachet of having your name on it. But I don't know, does that really offer us value? Are other people reaching out and trying to have extended ecosystems or federate out, or is it better just to keep it in-house and highlight things from our own community that we want other users to have?
Hey, Ian, this is Carla. So I think this is all pretty amazing, and I guess the question that I have is really, it seems like you already have a list of people who might be potential members of this federated consortium. Has anybody tried to reach out to them and see if they would be interested in that? I mean, do you feel like you have enough of a system in place that you could go and say, do exactly what you just said? Are you interested in this? If so, here are some examples. Here's the one example, and could we build some more, and would you be interested in that?
Yeah, I think where we were at is that was the deliverable from our working group right before the holidays. So we basically banged out the pathway for privacy. We tried to make it easy enough, and you were one of the people on those calls, easy enough for like a normal person to understand what we were talking about, and that was our deliverable. And our hope was to turn around after the holidays and start to make those connections and figure out who can we connect with to offer these things. But now we're into what direction do we head with version 1.1 to 1.5 to 2.0 to whatever. So that's part of the challenge, is taking that back up. James, can you unmute? Because that's one of the things that I was trying to pull out from the work that you and I were doing with like the JAL column and stuff like that. My issue is, what I learned, James, from our stuff is that the real power in badging is the ecosystem and the relationships in the ecosystem. Are we making this all sort of haywire if we reach outside of the ecosystem and try to federate? So what do you think?
Well, haywire isn't always bad. Just kidding. I think that, when organizations or institutions or whoever would use badges starts looking at it as a feasible either alternative to credentialing or a new way of credentialing or whatever those motivations may be, what they're looking for are, who has done this? How have they done it? What were the problems that they had? What does it look like now? And they're looking for generalizable things of, this worked and I can apply this to my program. Or, we have a similar issue here. I don't think this is going to work. So I think that, kind of moving into kind of a, I don't want to say newer frame, but maybe a broader frame for badges in the near future is looking at, these particular things we know now about badges, and we can make that leap into individual organizations and therefore have some generalizable principles. One of the things that the project that we're concluding now for the DPD, for example, talked about, you know, the outcome of many badge projects depends on what they started with. So if you're familiar with Cheryl Grant's buckets, the five buckets of technological innovation and what you start with, you know, a lot of the outcomes depend on the particular pieces with which you start, or don't start in that case. So that's a generalizable principle that we have some data now to be able to back up.
I think it's also one of the nice things about reaching out and building those generalizable skills is that for me, the important thing about the web lit map and our work is twofold. One, I think we have a critical mass now. We can continue to just draft out and iterate on the web literacy map, but I think the important part is, number one, we put it out in the wild and see what happens. You know, run up the flagpole, see what's happening, who responds to it, and what does it look like in the classroom or in the real world, because we'll learn from that. And two is to build awareness. So reaching out and having this badge ecosystem, you know, and federating it would make sense for my two points. I think that it would get people to use it, to try it out and see what works and doesn't work, and then also just to build awareness. Other voices? A lot of good notes. We have a lot of Etherpad pros here. This is very nice. I will give you a badge for having good Etherpad literacy skills.
Yeah, we've got a lot of great note takers on our calls. So,
At some of the comments on there and figure out what people are what's resonating.
Yep, and I know that Nate also mentioned in the chat that he'd like to circle back to Carla's question on line 140. About badge currency. So yeah. If you or if anyone else on the call wants to jump in on that, and if anyone needs help unmuting, if they're having trouble unmuting and you'd like me to do it from my end on Uber Conference, feel free to just let me know in the chat and I can do that for anybody.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. So let's say we partner up with EFF, we issue the privacy badge. People on this call, you know, students that I have, my sister, she goes and earns one of these privacy badges. Then going back to my years as an English teacher, the so what question. What happens now? What does it mean when somebody gets this privacy badge? What's the end result? I don't know the answer to that. So I'm interested to see what other people think here.
Hey, this is Nate. I had to wait till an airport security announcement finished before I could unmute again. Yeah, so I think, you know, like the question of like what it would mean to accept a privacy badge, you know, it's all about you know, what the consumers of the badge, what their value system is, and how they interact with that badge to, you know, like translate it into value within their own internal context. And so, you know, I could imagine, like, you know, Carla was asking, you know, like what a good way to get started is making sure that the organization issuing the badge, who does already sort of understand what, in some fashion, what the value of that badge is, make sure that they sort of accept that in some form. Like, you know, maybe use it for an internal employee training program and, you know, just sort of track people's progress as part of like an informal performance review, you know, something like that. And then, you know, figure out it from those examples how to talk to other potential consumers about how they could translate the value of the badge into their own value systems.
I agree. I think that, you know, for the students that I'm working with, you know, the webmaker clubs that many of the people here in this call are probably involved in, it would be nice to have work or have deliverables or have behaviors in your clubs or the activities that your students are doing and link them over to these, the, you know, elements of the web lit map. So I could say to my students, you know, we're going to, right now, you know, in some of the projects I'm working on with my students, you know, we need to focus more on their privacy and their identity and that intimacy that we talked earlier about. And what are ways that I can promote that with my students? And it might be to offer them that badge that we ultimately offer. Mm-hmm. Other people have thoughts, you know, on the so what of the what this would ultimately mean. And keep in mind, privacy is one, you know, competency. We have, we're at the very front end of getting all this work done. So if we scale it out, you know, we have three strands, and then we have numerous competencies that we would build up. Privacy is just, that's where we started because we thought it was hugely important right now. But we also have, you know, building and coding and everything else under the sun.
So Meredith put a comment in on line 145 asking about, you know, if validation by higher ed would be a possible value path for this. Maybe present. I'm just going to interpret this if she can't unmute, but maybe like you presenting this to like an admissions committee or something, and that college is, you know, translating the value of the badge into what they can understand about applicants.
I agree with you. I think that's actually, I put in a submission for the DML challenge, the trust challenge, and that was one of the component parts of it. We know that universities and secondary, we have issues with students entering, you know, that ecosystem, that college, that you know, middle school or high school, and they don't know how to be private and secure and, you know, knowledgeable web literate individuals. And so we wanted to build up a MOOC or some sort of open learning experience where they could, you know, learn about some of these skills, some of these values, and then go out and earn badges that went along with it. So if we had, you know, they would go out and learn about how to be more secure, more private, or how not to download everything under the sun. And we'd offer badges for that at the end of it. So then the university would say, okay, well, you are an incoming freshman or you are a incoming middle school student. Thanks for coming in before the school year starts. You need to go take this MOOC before you even start, earn these badges. And then later on when you download Game of Thrones, we can say, you knew you should not have done that. You earned the badges, so now we can punish you. But I agree with you. It might be a good partnership between schools because that was our thought in the DML Trust Challenge, is that schools are challenged and they don't have the opportunity to train people and pay people. So maybe this is a way to get that credentialing and put people through some sort of education.
Serge, I would like to make a comment on the fact that the badges, how they are designed now, is really for the end user. And when you think about privacy, you have many different levels. There is the user at the end of the chain, but there are the people developing the technologies, there are the networks, there is the people who are responsible at the school level, at the university level. And so the onus of privacy is not just on the end user, it's not just on the student, but it's also at different levels. So when you do a functional analysis, when you speak about competencies, you do a functional analysis and you look at all the activities that are involved into making privacy possible. And so we need to address a wide range from the end user to the policymakers. And I think this should be considered in the design you do. I think it's very difficult. Once you focus on just the individual, one of the problems I see quite often is we move from the description of competencies into some kind of task analysis. Okay, you need to do this, this, and that. And then the values disappear because you just need to be able to check that you use right passwords and things like that. So it becomes very, very almost administrative. So I would really encourage to think about the issue of privacy as a global issue and to think of all the different level of competencies that are required, all the different organizations that need to be involved into making privacy a reality and not just a way for the end users to do something on their computer.
I definitely agree with you. I think it's a great point. That's part of the challenge that we've had. We've gotten into frequent arguments on the web lit calls, actually discussions, about, you know, who is the audience? Like, what's the end result? Who are we focusing on? And it's a challenge. For the most part, we have tried to focus on individuals that, you know, are the quote-unquote, like, normal people out there that would not be involved in these web lit calls, the people that really need this the most, the people that, you know, are not on the community calls, that they really do need to know about privacy and security and all these other elements. Try to figure out exactly what they need to know, but in little bite-sized pieces. So that's the challenge. You know, we're trying to build up everything that an individual would need to be fully web literate in little bits and bytes.
But if
go ahead.
So if you think about, I've developed competency standards, okay, and always consider them as a kind of way to provide tools for conversations. And what you want from, if the idea is really to educate teenagers, young adults to be private. The question, you need to provide them with a tool to engage conversation with others. So it's not just about me doing the right things, but maybe be able to deliver a badge, me or us as a community of teenagers in a school. Maybe we can deliver a badge to the director of the school or to a teacher, or maybe we can deliver a badge to David Snowden. Edward Snowden. So it's a whole range of badges we can imagine if we think that we want to make privacy one of our priorities. And so having badges just for the end users might not be enough because it reinforces the idea that at the end it is a person who is responsible for that. When in fact, the technology providers, the way organizations are set up, create unfavorable conditions for intimacy to grow. So I think the idea of badges as transformational should also help people to understand what others should be able to do, not just themselves, but the others. So conversation would be able to grow.
I like that. I think it's, I mean, with the leveling, that's one of the things that we try to figure out is, you know, we, with that white paper that you've all had a chance to look at, you know, we identified a couple, you know, we figured 2-3, you know, 3 is a nice round number. We had many ideas for other levels and other badges and you know, much higher functioning, you know, examples of privacy in that case. But the challenge was that we wanted to have, you know, as the deliverable for the working group, one bite size, okay, this is something that's easy to understand. People might actually take time and read it and do something with it. But I think that one of the challenges is that we are missing, you know, a lot of that. It looks like it exists in a vacuum. We don't have the chance to, at least from my research, a lot of the important things that happen in literacy are opportunities for people to talk about it and talk about these literacies and what they mean, and we don't have that built in right now. It's a sterile look at literacy right now. So I definitely agree with you. Nate. Either Nate or Angela, do you want to talk more quickly, hopefully of time, about the link that was dropped in and that reference?
Let's see, you're talking line 148 with the Cooper Hewitt?
Yeah,
Angela, feel free to jump in and interrupt me if you want. You may know more about Cooper Hewitt than I did. I interviewed them about a year ago for the DPD project, and they were talking about how one of their core design considerations when they were getting started with the badge system was doing lots of consultation with a group of design colleges that potentially accept that their students who have earned badges will actually apply to. And so they were talking about how do we design the badges and what learning are we going to recognize in order to meet the needs of these, you know, very targeted consumers for our credentials. And so the DPD project link on line 148 is just a report about that design decision as well as how that worked with the rest of the design principles they chose to adopt. Cool. Angela has an update from 3 weeks ago. That would be great if you could unmute, though.
Yeah, this is very cool because it seems like we can learn a lot from this. And the other thing is, hopefully Angela can unmute, but one of the things that's cool to me about this and my naive understanding of badges is that it would be kind of fun to, you know, develop that badge ecosystem or what your plan is and then go to other organizations or other individuals and you know, flex or give that wiggle room to your understanding of the badge or the skills or the competencies or whatever those behaviors, and then really offer the badge.
Hey, this is Angela. Can you hear me?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so I spoke with them about 3 weeks ago, just in a general partnership meeting that the badge system came up, and they said that they had a pretty strong holding with NASID about using those badges for their students as they apply. The challenge that they came across is that when you're working with older youth, things like earning badges isn't always that appealing just because they're disgruntled older youth. But one thing that the kids really liked was creating their own badges for students to earn and not so much having a preset group of badges, which I think makes it a bit challenging when you're working with an organization like a higher ed university. They like to know ahead of time what people are going to be earning and what they should be looking for. But I think the interesting piece is that the kids did see the value in it. It's, I think, messaging to the kids that there could be some badges that they create for each other, but using badges for a higher ed application does require some preset knowledge and skills for them to show that they've demonstrated and that they've learned. I think it goes back to communicating that to the youth, and that's more just a youth challenge and less of a badge challenge, but it seems to be going well. They, I believe, had 200 badges for the kids to earn. And they got some headway with that work.
That's very cool on multiple levels. What I really like is one of the things I learned from James, in our work together in the DPD group is, and also from looking at Mount stuff is, you know, maybe with our web lit map, possibly have that federated model, or even more importantly, have individuals develop their own badges. But we have to have some, you know, a running start to make that happen. So it'd be really cool if we had kids, you know, or individuals making badges in privacy. And then we could promote what Serge is talking about and have that dialogue and the communication about what's important in privacy. But it's also interesting from the higher ed perspective to see, you know, because it's part of an application process, you know, we have certain skills and competencies that we need to see in order for you to be accepted, you can develop your badges, but this is sort of what we're looking at. So it's interesting to see what are the possible connections there and what are the intersections and how would that actually look.
Hey guys, this is Jade. I'm just aware that we're 2 minutes past the hour, and I don't want to take us too far past the hour. It looks like we've got a couple of people heading out. Thanks for being here, Meredith. And don't worry, this call is being recorded, so if folks have to drop off, they can catch up tomorrow or even later today. I'll be able to post the link to the audio. As is evident by this discussion taking us right up to the hour, I think there's going to be a lot more to talk about with all these interconnected issues. And I think with the DML Trust Challenge happening this year, we're going to see a lot more of these conversations happening on these calls. So for any conversations that may have been cut short today, you know, let's keep them going in the community group. Let's, you know, bring those conversations back in future community calls. So thank you, everybody, for contributing today. And thank you, Ian, for joining us and kickstarting this conversation.
Yeah, thanks all for the feedback. I could definitely figure out ways to come back. Oh, look, I should figure out how to use an Etherpad. ways to come back. Let me sign in for a second. So there we go. Definitely come back because this is great feedback. We're trying to figure out what to do with it. As a side note, I've been meaning to come to the Open Badges community and ask this question. If anybody knows a way to offer badges and issue badges to someone's Twitter account, please get in touch with me. I'm running with a bunch of other people the Walk My World project, and so we have people sharing and interacting openly online using the Walk My World hashtag, and I want to start issuing badges, sort of as a gateway drug for badges. And I don't know how to issue a badge just to somebody's Twitter account. So if anybody's got any ideas, please shoot me a link or shoot me an idea. And I'll definitely come back in a future call to talk more about the web litmap, but I'd like to ping people on Twitter and say, hey, you earned a badge, here you go. But thanks, everybody, for the feedback. This is a great call.
That's great. And yes, as Nate has said in the chat, the standards working group is looking into it. So if you want a link to that, I suggest connecting with Nate will be a good place to start. And signing up with the standards mailing list to keep tabs on that conversation as it develops. So I apologize, folks, we're a few minutes over. Thank you, everybody, for your patience and your engagement and contributions today. It's been really great hanging out. Because we've run over, I'm going to leave the rest of the Etherpad as nonverbal updates. So if you want to catch up, get some reading done, or check out other announcements, I will leave you to scroll down the Etherpad. With that, thank you all for joining me. I will see you all on Twitter, in the mailing list, Facebook, everywhere else that we hang out. And I will hang out with you guys again next Wednesday. All right. Bye, guys.